So this week, my normal new co-host, Jamie Dooner, is unable to join on Tech Bacon because he is ill. There's illness sweeping the land of Los Angeles. Sweeping, I say. So I don't like doing the show alone. I decided to bring in a ringer. And so I have with me two ringers this afternoon. I have Sam and Jack are joining us today.
So this is Sam Woolman. And that was Jack.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
39.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Tech Bacon. It is Sunday, December 4th, and wow, it is our, as the opening told you, 39th episode.
I can't believe this is Tech Bacon 39 already. This seems like it started last week, and we're at 39. You guys are closing in on a year. This is a big deal.
Thank you. Thank you. So welcome to the show, Sam Woolman.
Well, thank you very much. This is big shoes to fill. I don't know if I can really follow in the punny Jamie Dooner footsteps. I'm a little nervous.
That's
not
okay.
Gonna lie.
I think you're going to do well. I think you could bring a unique perspective to what we got going on here.
Well, I'll do my best.
Especially this week, Sam has a bit of legal background. So
I dabble in the law from time to time. I've been known to push paper around a little bit. By the way, before, ladies and gentlemen, we have to wish Scott Gold a happy birthday on the show. It's Scott's turning 25.
That's right.
on December 2nd. And so everyone stop and take a moment and wish Scott a happy birthday. Okay. Thank you
very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
And in honor of my birthday, Sam and I are having a few mid-afternoon Sunday cocktails to celebrate. That's exactly why we're doing it. Celebrate.
Yes. You know,
Sunday afternoon drinking.
Not because we have a problem. Not because, hey, I don't have a problem.
No.
Okay.
No. You don't.
Not so far as I know, anyway. So that's number one. So what now? What do we do? How do we tech baconize?
Well, we're gonna
are we gonna do? Are there tech baconeers? Are there tech? Is that what the fans are?
I don't know.
Is that what they should be called? Like buccaneers, but different.
I don't know. I need a name for the.
I think
for the
they
tech
should be
bacon
tech. I think they should be tech baconeers.
Baconeers. I have to think about that.
It's not great, sure. but it's
funny.
It's
something. It's something, Sam. I'll tell you, it's something. That's about it.
All right. I tried.
Okay, so this week, crazy week in technology.
Big week in technology. Huge week.
I say this every week.
Do you say that every week? Yeah. I don't listen as much as I should, folks. I'm a bad friend. I'm a really bad friend.
Every week, I'm like, it's a crazy week in technology.
but this week, it's true.
It is true. So the huge news, and I know you know, Sam, a little bit about it.
Vaguely.
I'm sure people have been reading. Earlier in this week, there was a report that came out about a piece of software that was found on an HTC Android phone. And this software, there's an engineer. His name is Trevor Eckhart, discovered this. And it is what he discovered was that this piece of software is tracking pretty much everything that is input on one's phone.
Now, here's what I think the big news about this announcement is any surprise on any person's part that this is happening is not acceptable. I think that we are now in an era that any expectations that people have of privacy as it relates to what you're doing online, I think it's a mistake. I think you kind of have to recognize that, especially doing what I do, you know, people put things in an email. Emails don't go away.
Right.
You write a nasty email internally at a company, doesn't go away. You send a nasty email externally, doesn't go away. You say that you've done something illegal in an email, doesn't go away.
That's true.
That's very true. And that's the same thing about your, you know, I've noticed lately, like when I've ordered online to go pick up CPK.
Right.
You know what? It tells you your IP address.
It's true. It does. It knows where you came from.
It knows where you came from. So the fact that anybody has any kind of false notions that we're all private and said, no. The people that are out there that have technology, if you want to get out there and track, my expectation is that you can be tracked.
You're right. You're right. And everything can be tracked. Now, what was so alarming about this was that originally, and a lot of info came out during the week. It was like day by day, more info came out. So one of the the first thing that came out was that it was keylogging. That it was, even if you didn't send an email, or even if you didn't send a text, or even if you didn't do anything, it was tracking every button you pushed on the phone.
I'm not surprised.
You know, and
it sounds like basically what it sounded like to me is that this is the first time that somebody has found a tech Trojan horse.
Well, and the crazy thing was, at first it was like, this is on your Android phones. Then it was, this is on your BlackBerry phones.
And then
it was, this is on your iPhones. This was on across the board, every type of phone that was out there.
Look, I think this is it's very Fight Club-y to me. I think the concept of I'm surprised it's actually not talked about more, what the end of Fight Club is with trying to crash the financial system by crashing all the credit card companies and crashing the banks. If somebody did that all in one day, everybody'd be in trouble because all the information's online, all of it's digital. And
it's true.
I think the world is kind of open to that. I mean, it's sort of like my opinion about terrorism. You can't be scared because it's not in your control. You can't be scared of what somebody's going to do to you on a data level,
right?
Because you can't control it. You're not, no matter what safeguard somebody puts in place, if there's somebody smart enough out there, they're probably going to be able to beat it.
That's absolutely true. I mean, I totally agree with it. Now, as the week went on, more details came out. So at first, Carrier IQ was really not saying anything. They weren't really giving any information. They're Which like, is, we have to check into this. We have to see what's going on.
Of course.
Makes perfect sense. And then it turned out that this software was placed on the phones by the carriers. It wasn't by Google. It wasn't by Apple. It was by Verizon and Sprint and AT&T.
That's the thing. It's not an accident. Again, I'm pretty cynical when it comes to the system.
Right.
And I think the system is always, they're always out for themselves. And so if it's corporations, they're out to make money. And however they're going to make money, they're going to make money. And if that's by tracking what you do, guess what? They're going to track what you do.
Sure. And, you know, and then even more info came out and actually made Carrier IQ somewhat look better. What it turns out is this information that was being logged was logged into a file on the phones by the carriers before going into Carrier IQ. And then when they get it, then it gets sent back and analyzed and data. So the main...
How is that better?
Well, better for them because they weren't the ones doing it.
I see.
The carriers were the ones doing it. Yeah. And the phone manufacturers.
They're still complicit if they're receiving the data.
Absolutely. And nobody... It's still vague. It's still vague what the exact data is
I'm
that they
telling
have.
You, here's my knee jerk. We're never going to know what the actual data is that they have. We're never going to know what they've actually done with it. And it's probably not great, but I think that's a lot of information. I think there's probably a lot of information out there about people that most people don't know that somebody else has about them. And I think for a long time, not just in the digital era just in the high-tech era, I bet for a long time. You know,
but to me, this is the equivalent of, let's say you buy a computer for your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get online, and then one day you find out that even if you weren't online, HP was tracking everything you did on your computer.
It doesn't surprise me. I guess I have a wired in expectation that because this is the world that we live in right now, somebody's probably doing it.
But do you only not expect that for computers? What if it was your car? What if you were being tracked in your car with everything you did? Would
I'm
you
not
be shocked?
No.
Really?
No, I don't. Again, it's a cynical point of view, but my...
Are you, even if you're not shocked, are you outraged?
No, I'm not.
You think it's okay?
I don't think it's okay, but I'm not outraged because that would imply that I didn't expect it.
Right.
My outrage only comes from somebody doing something really horrible with it.
Which we don't know if they can or they can't.
Right. That's where I come out on the information. The fact that it's being done, not surprising to me. The fact that somebody's got a lot of data about us, not surprising to me. It'll be more interesting to see if somebody actually uncovers what has anyone, Carrier IQ, carriers, phone companies, so on and so forth, what have they done with the information. Right. That will be more interesting.
I mean, I can't say this fully surprises me, you know, per se. It doesn't like make me go, oh, I'm totally shocked that somebody would do something like this.
Right.
But it did throw me for a loop that this was embedded all on everyone's phones for probably going on a little while now.
Well,
and nobody knew about it.
Right. And
knew about it.
As to my point, I'd be shocked if there isn't in the movie Gattaca, there's this process where you can go and take someone's, you know, hair sample or a a saliva sample, and you can go to some weird, you know, bank and get them to tell you everything about their gene system, because it's a society based upon, you know, genomic superiority.
Right.
And it wouldn't surprise me at some point if you could get somebody's internet using history.
But I think this is worse.
It's worse, but it's also like that's something that I've been anticipating for a while. That's at some point there's going to be a company that is out there that almost on a detective level, it's like, well, I just started dating somebody. I want to know about them.
Well,
I want to know their search habits.
That's already possible.
Right.
It's not embedded into the devices you use. It's maybe, just being able to extract data from what's already there.
Not so far as you know.
Right.
That's my point, is that this stuff is inherently trackable. That's the thing. So it's of course we should assume that we're being tracked, because you can.
But the fact that it's there and is able to be tracked, I think there's something a little more alarming to the carriers purposely putting on software on these devices in order to grab information.
I'm not that alarmed. Not that alarmed.
Like, it's every phone. That's crazy. It's not every
it's
phone,
just
but
not,
it's
just not know. Surprising to me. I'm really I saw it and I instantly thought to myself, I've read this headline. It's about time. It's about time that we found out that this was happening, because this had to be happening. To me, I expect it.
I guess I don't.
Right.
You know.
Right.
They say they're only using it to analyze network traffic and to make the experience better. And to be honest, they may be. But the problem is that data is
that
being
like
collected
a
without
that sounds,
your no, without
that
your
sounds
notes.
Like a justification that doesn't have necessarily all that clandestine of an intent. It sounds good, but it ain't all that great.
Yeah, you know, and it's like you said, if somebody has a mean purpose for it, then that's where the danger is.
Right. It's intent. Look, that's the thing, is that it's intent. And it's action. It's one thing that if they are claiming to intend it for a good purpose at the moment, okay. Until we find out that somebody's taken really negative, malicious action, I don't think it's all that much to talk about, because it's just a possibility that's now out there.
They've opened the phones up for that. They've opened the door for it to be possible. And if they didn't do it, the door wouldn't be open. So like what they've done is somebody could write software that could hack into their software to collect that data.
My headline is it was only a matter of time.
Agreed.
And the fact that it's in a way that it's been this long, I would have said that it wouldn't have surprised me that right at the top of the mass usage of the internet, which I feel like was really. I feel like the internet kicked into high gear when I got out of college, 99, 2000. Suddenly. In the workplace, it was everybody's on the internet, and
right.
I don't think 5 years before that would have been the case. It just wasn't really there in the same condition.
When I started working, my company had one computer that had internet
but so
access.
Because to me that would have been the thing. If I was somebody, if I was a tech company that had something like Carrier IQ, I would have uploaded that sucker then. If I was somebody that was capable of doing it then, that's when I actually would have expected it to happen, when everything's new. Policing the internet is new. Controls are new. Safeguards are new. And that's when I would have expected it to happen. The fact that it's 10 years later, 11 years later,
it's scary when you get into the mobile world. You know, like,
look,
the handheld devices are now computers. So it's not like you say someone's tracking your cell phone. Really, they're tracking your personal handheld computer.
I mean,
it's a different way to look at it.
George Orwell's looking pretty smart right now. Big Brother is watching and is always, for the rest of human history, as we presently know it, Big Brother is going to be watching. There are people out there that are smart enough to employ the technology, devices, and so on and so forth that we have out there in the world to gather a lot of information, and that's happening. And the fact that we now know about it, it's a good thing that we know.
Because there now is
probably the beginning of a new era of a stronger, more forceful battle between people who have bad intentions and security.
Yeah, well, and it looks like...
I mean, look, I think
the
there's a lot...
getting involved, too.
I think there's a lot of I don't hear it talked about as much as I think it should be, the security... and privacy or lack thereof on Facebook. You know, the fact that Facebook, that you actually have to set your privacy settings to more private rather than start out private and you have to lessen them. I think that's wholly inappropriate.
Well, that's a whole, yeah, I mean, that's
but that's a side
of this conversation. You
right.
know?
That's a whole similar, but that's, I think that's very connected to this conversation, I think.
It is because this was not, you didn't have the option to opt out of this.
Right, but you've got the option to opt out, but I think it's, look, whenever I've tried to adjust my privacy settings on Facebook, it's difficult.
It is, but you can do it.
But I always feel like I'm not doing it very well. And right. I always feel, and I also feel like they continually get reset
to
a more public setting over and over and over again. And so I just kind of leave it be, which is not really what I want, but I'm unwilling to go through the effort, which is I feel like where a lot of companies with hidden fees, hidden activities, and so on and so forth beat you. Is they beat you because people are lazy.
Sure. Well, I know. I think that's
and,
true.
And so I think this is the same kind of thing. It's like I'm aware that people are tracking what I do. I'm aware that there's more information out there about all of us than probably we all would really want. You know?
Yeah.
Because I only know one or two friends at this point that aren't on Facebook and that don't really have their personal presence readily available
that they know
of. thank you on the internet. And I think that's kind of a scary thing, but at the same time, once as soon as you realize that it's a scary thing, I'm over it.
Yeah, true.
Because it's just it's the reality that we live in.
It's the transparency, though. One does know with cell phones that this is happening. So now when you buy a phone, you're aware of it.
But up until now,
I think it was a realm that most people were naive about.
Yeah, but at the same
and
time...
Even the tech community.
But
this is even the people in the tech community were kind of up in arms over this.
I think the world at large has demonstrated a real lack of awareness or carelessness about what they do on a cell phone. I mean, all of the scandals that have taken place in the last 2 years, the Tiger Woods text messages.
But wasn't anyone tracking them. This wasn't
my point is that people are in the face of knowledge of trackability still just doing whatever they want to do. And that is I think that's all what we're all doing, is that we all know that we can be tracked. Now this is something that we didn't know about, that we could be tracked. But still, people don't really care, I think, or they're not really accepting the new reality that we live in, which is...
I think they care about this, though.
Yeah.
I think people care about this.
Because this is not...
It's so deep-rooted.
Your big point is that this was undisclosed, and that if...
The transparency. This was disclosed, and even if it was a ridiculous 20-page user agreement that you had to sign, at the end of the day, the companies could say, well,
you either sign it, or you don't use our carrier.
Right, and fine. That's... I mean, it's horrible, but it's fine. You know, they have a leg to stand on. I think in this, they don't really have a leg to stand on. I mean,
no, they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble. You know. But eventually they're going to get out of the trouble because they're going to justify it the way that you were talking about, and they're going to say that it's helping the information travel.
It's going to get changed. One of the cool things about it is, though, is that in this world that we live in, where people, big businesses can do this, there's a guy out there like Trevor Eckhart that decided to check. That just decided that he was looking through code.
That's the guy that actually uncovered this?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were saying that was the Carrier IQ CEO.
The Carrier IQ guy, Andrew Coward, I think was his name, was one of the main...
That's an unfortunate name.
I know. Terrible.
For someone who is doing something on a covert basis.
Yeah.
That's really unfortunate.
You know, it's weird, though. Like, Carrier IQ, I have a little sympathy for them as a company because, you know, this came out, right? And they didn't say anything. I mean, not they didn't say anything. They said, we have to check into this ourselves, right? And see what's going on. But what happened, as more information has been coming out, what turned out to be is, you know, they, it's funny. They, I don't think, knew if it was true or not. Which is kind of sad.
I don't buy that for a second.
No, because they had to test it themselves, because what happened was once they found out what was being proclaimed wasn't true, which the initial things were not true for them, they were not providing this information. So the initial claims that came out that they were keylogging all that stuff weren't true. Once they were able to confirm it wasn't, they started talking. And they started talking and pointing the finger.
At the carriers.
Right.
I see. So the carrier...
it's interesting.
Now I see what you're saying, that the carrier IQ position is that the carriers have misappropriated
what
their
they were
program.
Well, no. The program is what it's for. It's just that they
this is all a bunch of hooey.
Yeah.
This is people with power and access using their power and access.
But
baby.
it's like a company that provides spy cameras. You can't hold them accountable for what someone does with the spy camera.
No. I think
it's similar.
I said George Orwell's looking pretty smart right now. Somebody else that's looking pretty smart right now is Michael Crichton. I think the whole
very
concept
true.
Because I don't think it necessarily came across in the movie as well, but the book Jurassic Park really hammers home the concept of just because we can,
right.
should we
totally.
That there should be a discussion first, and that's actually I think what a lot of what you've been saying today has been driving at is just because we can track, should we, just because
right.
the technology exists, should we use it? And I think
right.
that's a question that is probably not going to be asked enough at the beginning of the 21st century, and probably by the end of it, the society will have paid a price from time to time.
Absolutely.
Because that question wasn't asked. But it's a big deal.
And
it's
this
a
is
big,
open,
big deal.
And this is hope. This is because it's become national news and has gotten into the government. I mean, this has opened, I think, a lot of people's eyes.
Well, that's the bigger question is, okay, so I hadn't even considered that, but if it's tracking government cell phone usage, then can some other government hack into... Can the
that's
U.S. government
so
hack into other people's governments' cell phone computer usage and suddenly get a whole lot of data and a whole lot of information?
That's why we need to find out what exactly is there. And I think as the weeks go on, it's too big now for them to contain. The information's going to come out.
I think it'll fade.
I'm not surprised if there's a Senate hearing on this. That's how big I think it's going to be.
Yeah, there was also a Senate hearing on steroids in baseball, and we see how much that turned over.
And also the next thing that's going to happen.
It's a fad, though, man.
The smart hacker out there, the smart computer programmer, you know what they're releasing next? Disable Carrier IQ app. I mean, they're not, but I'm saying that's going to happen.
That's what they should be doing.
It's going to happen.
It's what they should be doing. Yeah, it's going to be... Look, we're in a whole... It's crazy. We're in a whole different style and genre of life. You're sitting there fidgeting with a tablet in front of you, and you could be, while we're talking, you could be surfing the internet, looking up information while we're doing this.
It's a new world.
There are new rules. It's pretty... Yes, and they're all going to be set... on the fly, real time. And so that's why I come from the point of view of whenever there's power out there, there's always someone to manipulate it in a way that is not preferred by the masses. And so we're now finding this out. New regulations will go in place.
Sure.
New transparencies will be desired.
Absolutely.
And so on and so forth. That's going to happen.
And that's what's going to happen because this came out. So it's a good thing it came out. Bad thing that it's been there. Now everyone knows.
I'll tell you right now, Tech Bacon world, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Something will happen somewhere in the next 10, 15, 20 years.
You mean that chip that's implanted in all of our necks?
So far
worse.
Anyone
born, 1975 and on?
Yeah.
No, that's not me, though.
Yeah. No, that's not you, is it? Birthday boy.
So if you want to read more information, I mean, there's so much detailed info about this. I'll post a link to it.
I'm so much more serious than Dooner.
This is a serious topic.
I'm bringing the Woolman intensity. It's somewhere out there. Donnie Ballgame is smiling because I'm really intense.
That's okay. I mean, listen, Brian and I would get into pretty heated debates on here. So it's okay. And, you know, Jamie didn't drink. So you already got that on him.
All right. I would like to give a shout out to my dad right now because 40 plus years ago, sorry dad, my dad did a radio show called Dimensions in Jazz with his friend Bobby Packham Los Angeles, where they used to, it was a jazz radio show, and they used to every once in a while get some legit performers in that they would interview, and it was a thing. So I'm carrying on a family tradition today by being on the radio. And
congratulations!
I'm very thank you for that. But anyway, for those of you jazz fans out there that are also tech fanatics, maybe one of you knows about Dimensions in Jazz, but it really happened.
I think we need to revive it.
My dad would be very proud if that happened.
I feel like I need to play us out with some jazz at the end of this episode.
Well, you know what I can do? I have recordings that got the old audio tapes that my mom found of of Dimensions in Jazz. Have I never played that for you?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to digitize those at some point.
They are. That's what I'm saying. Okay, I have them as iTunes files.
We're going to put those files online, and we're going to link to them if you want to listen to them.
You got it.
How's that?
That is great.
Awesome. So in the realm of media, there was some other news this week. YouTube did a major overhaul of their homepage. You go to YouTube.com, it is not the same thing as before. It looks completely different.
And I would have to say for me, Scott and I took a brief glance at this before we started the show. I really don't care. And I know that most
That's
people
amazing.
That most people are going to have a different reaction to the YouTube revamp than I use YouTube for one and only one purpose, and
porn?
That's to my knowledge, there's no good porn on YouTube, which is one of its shortcomings as far as I'm concerned, but it's neither here nor there. I use YouTube to play songs, videos, and you know, the kooky, the Dooner videos, the crazy video of the day,
right?
That usually is you know, YouTube powered. Otherwise, I don't really use YouTube yet. But I think the point is that now what YouTube's doing is it looks like you're going to have a similar Facebook style feed of channels that you can subscribe to.
I think they're trying to make it a different experience.
Correct. It is now. That experience is the right word. It's now intended to be, I think, a destination for you to do more than, oh, I haven't heard that song in a while, and this is the easiest place I can pull it up for free, so I'm going to go get it.
Right.
Or see the silly video. And now they're trying to really make it something where you stay there.
And you know, that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to make it, you know, it's similar, really. At the end of the day, really, they're working their way into the living room with this. It's one step further to YouTube getting into the living room. They have this. This is going to be part of Google TV. You know, this is a revamping of what you think of YouTube. YouTube, this is not going to be just where you go on and find the cute little video. That's going to be that too. But it's going to be where you go for content. It's going to be your channel that you log on to and sit and watch.
And what's really interesting is that I have... I kind of backed into this on a business level because my company, to remain nameless, has recently started or is in the process.
A large entertainment company.
A large entertainment company is in the recently started or is in the process of starting a YouTube fitness channel.
Really?
So all of the fitness content that we have.
Wow.
Either AVOD or SVOD for you laymen out there, ad supported video on demand or subscription video on demand rights, any fitness product where we've got those distribution rights, we are going to be having a channel up there. And actually, with some of the performers that we have that are some of the more notable performers in the fitness space, it's kind of a big deal, I think.
That's fascinating.
My expectation...
That's actually very fascinating.
Because our fitness team is really one of the, I think, the top performing groups, business groups in my company. I think we're going to have one of the bigger channels out there.
I think that's definitely possible.
Because we've got huge people in the business, and so...
And there's a lot of money to be made on advertising through YouTube with their ad-supported videos.
And I think some of the stuff that's done better online in the on-demand space is fitness. So it's interesting. I've known, based upon different deals that I've been working on, I've known that that's been happening, but I didn't realize until we looked at that revamp today.
Why
it was going to be so readily accessible.
Right.
It didn't, because.
So
because
you're going to be able to subscribe. You can, you'll be able to subscribe to a channel. You'll be able to subscribe to the blah, blah, blah fitness channel.
Right.
And then those videos are available to you when you go on YouTube and you will see a list of everything in your channels.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's
very Facebooky. It has a Facebook feed feel to it.
Well, you know what's really interesting? And since I'm getting my 15 minutes here on Tech Bacon, I'm gonna use them to talk about the tech things that interest me. I find it fascinating that in the interface of most products that we deal with now, that there is the Apple and Facebook domination. Spotify.
Big time.
I haven't heard anybody talk about it, but Spotify is iTunes interface. 100%. It's as close to iTunes as you can get without being iTunes in the way the search bar looks. It's that same long oval.
Sure.
In the way the tracks play, in the way the general layout looks, and anything that is good on a feed or news feed basis, it's the Facebook model. It's the Facebook model, and it's amazing how that impact is. And I remember when I started using Facebook, it was the reason that I liked Facebook better than MySpace, because the MySpace interface is god awful.
Right.
And horrible. Facebook was really user friendly, and Apple iTunes is really user friendly. That's fascinating that there are really two UIs out there that are anything else.
Oh yeah. Well, and Google, appropriated that for Google Plus also.
Not very well.
Well, you know what?
It's they tried the Google BuzzFeed or whatever that was terrible. It was Buzz. And it was terrible. Google Plus is slightly better, but do you know anybody using Google Plus?
No, I personally don't. it's too bad. Because I really like what they did, but the thing is, in response, Facebook just kind of did the same thing that all their innovations all of a sudden Facebook came out with. Now, Google, it's weird, with what Google's doing for all of these things with YouTube and with Google Plus, is they're doing this competition with Facebook, and they're really trying to force Google Plus down your throats with Google Music, with now YouTube. There's a plus button on the left. For YouTube, they're really wanting to shove you into using it, and it's never going to take off that way. The only way a new service takes off is organically, and people want to use it.
Well, it's fun. It's so funny that you say that, because I'm such a movie rewatcher, and I've rewatched The Social Network a number of times.
Yeah.
And the big moment in there is that post discussion Justin Timberlake dinner, where they're talking about, we don't even know what it is yet. We don't want advertisers on it. The currency that we have is that it's cool.
Right.
That's how that.
And Google Plus was never cool.
And no, Google Plus is never going to be cool. YouTube has been cool.
YouTube has been cool. Well, because Google bought YouTube. They didn't create YouTube.
Right. But that's what it is that something has to be cool before anybody's really going to get into using it. And you can't force cool. It's like giving yourself a nickname. Unacceptable. Can't do it.
And thing with Facebook, and I mentioned this to Brian at one point, and he kind of argued with me. Shocking.
Brian? Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Bishop, not argumentative. I don't know what you're... Hey, Tech Bacon ears, don't say that about Brian Bishop. He doesn't argue at all. Stop it.
He does, as do I, and that's why we had some great conversations.
Wait, you argue too? It's amazing.
Hilarious. Yes, I argue.
I don't believe it. Who are you?
What I always thought was, Google Plus, if they wanted to ever succeed, and I don't know now if they ever will, it just needed to be released without any hoopla. It just needed to be there. And people needed to discover it themselves.
Right, that's exactly the point that I'm trying to make, is that it needs to be cool. And it's not going to be cool. Press releases don't make things cool.
Right.
They just don't.
Yeah.
It's
unfortunate.
Something might be cool and then subsequently get a press release.
Right.
But it doesn't happen the other way.
And Google Music, it's what kills me is because they're trying to force this into their own everything. And I like Google. I don't love, they scare me a little bit, but whatever. Just like every other company. Every company scares me.
Especially now.
Yeah, exactly. The if Google Music had any chance of being a big success, and I think it's going to still be a decent success because it's going to be integrated into all the Android phones and everything like that, they needed to be able to have you share the music through Facebook, which they see as their big competitor, and you're never going to be able to do that. Instead, you can share full songs through Google Plus, and they think that's going to make people use Google Plus. It's not.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
It's not. It's not.
You know, I getting back to the YouTube redesign, maybe that will help. Probably not. But it seems, it's funny because it seems that it's a couple fold why they did it. One, part of that redesign seems like trying to
drive traffic.
Yes, sir. Drive traffic to Google Plus. That seems to be one of the parts of the redesign. And they have to stop focusing on that.
You know, it's interesting that you make the comment about the way that it really would have driven traffic would have been to connect to Facebook. It's one of those things that I think businesses often make a mistake of not being humble enough to just admit, hey, you know something? This is a competitor.
They got the ground covered.
This is a competitor, but if we work with them, if you can't beat them, join them. And that is something that most companies seem to have too much ego that gets in the way of the join them. Because if you do,
well, and Google,
I guarantee
you know,
great things would happen. Because I find I've sampled. Being a music fanatic, I've sampled a lot of the music systems out there. I don't love Pandora. I don't love Spotify. I'm only using the free version, but I don't love it.
Right.
I liked Rhapsody, but I liked it when I was paying for it, and I stopped paying for it once I got Spotify. And you know, it's possible to beat somebody's interface out there. The best one, Apple bought, Lala.
We talk about that a lot on this show. It's so funny.
Lala was it became my
all
favorite site on the internet.
All of us.
It's a big, yes. So whomever it is out there that built that company, thank you. You did better than everyone else in the last 5, 6, 7 years of creating a website. It was perfect.
And Apple took them and didn't give us any of their awesome features.
Well, I still think that there's eventually an intent.
Well, the cloud, actually, I mean,
the cloud
music
is,
match is Lala. I mean, yeah, I'm sure a lot of that.
But
DNA
it was the play. It was the player. It was the player. And but it was also the concept that everybody's missed from Lala is the play one song for free in its entirety. Because I was buying
brilliant
music like wildfire, because I could listen to an album in full. You could listen, and the best part about it was what Lala did that was really smart. It was big albums and big acts all the way down to the smallest indie act.
Right.
They had people out there trying to get that stuff on the site. So then if you heard a band on a weird internet, you know, blog or playlist or podcast, 9 times out of 10, it was up on Lala, and you could go listen to their 4-song EP. And you know what? I bought a lot of those 4-song EPs.
Because you could only listen to it once, and if you liked it, then you're going to buy it.
Bingo.
And it's, you know, it's too bad Apple didn't follow through with that.
Because that was the feature of Lala that I thought was the brilliant part that doesn't exist anywhere else on the internet. Because the desire to listen to a band's new album or a new band's new album is huge on my part, and there's very, you know, Spotify is now where I do it, but they don't have the coverage that Lala had, and it drives me crazy.
It's amazing that the music labels don't see this. It's amazing to me because they are so determined to make people still buy music, and they're really scared of subscription services, even though they're licensing.
And they should be. I mean, I think it is now. We're definitely look. The cool thing for us as concert goers is we're now in the era that bands have all realized there's one way to make money:
tour,
yeah, play, and merch. I'm the biggest, you know, all of my friends know I'm the biggest merch fanatic that there is out there. I grade all bands by their quality or lack thereof of their merch.
Right.
If they play a good show, I buy something because I think they've earned it. It's my credit and token to the band of, hey, I know that by buying this, I'm helping you continue to make albums.
Right.
Because you're not making money off of music sales. Album sales are completely depleted. They're gone. You know, gone is the era of millions and millions and millions of record sales. It's just not happening anymore.
No, not at all.
You know, not even for the biggest bands and acts out there. It just is not. It's a new world in that way, and they've got to be out there hustling, performing for, sure. for your dollar. And I love it because it means that we get to see great stuff. And it's also making people, Fantastic. It's making people collaborate more. It's making bigger tours happen. Like, I think one of the big reasons that the Kanye West, Jay-Z album happened is because they knew that when they went to tour on it, that they would do exactly what they've done, which is charge $150 plus for your ticket. Yeah. And guess what? They're selling out everywhere they go. So, you know, they've already figured it out, and that's great. Right. Like, because think about it. If you got bigger bands, I mean, you know, the first concert I ever saw, Guns N' Roses Metallica tour, that was the two biggest bands at the time joining together, and that was really revolutionary because sure. nobody had ever done that before. Well, that's just happened with Jay-Z and Kanye. And so I'm really hoping that continues to happen where these acts want to get together and go out on tour and generate more money for themselves. But in the process, they're generating a great show for the fans. And that's pretty cool.
It is cool. I feel like there's a way for these labels, not even the labels, the artists to make money, you know, and you do it on YouTube. You look for music,
yeah.
you know, and what I would love to see is on YouTube, see that's what they don't get. Like on YouTube, labels are releasing songs that you could play over and over and over again.
That's true. Right?
Imagine if they took the La La approach and on your YouTube channel, you can subscribe to Universal Music and on Universal Music, they have their entire catalog there, but you can only play it once
for free.
You have to buy it on Google Music.
Right.
That's how you make money.
That's a business.
And it benefits everybody.
Google, are you listening? Can you hear me now?
Hey, Google, are you listening?
Because it's me, Sam. because Scott just gave you a great idea. He just gave you a music business changing idea. Can you hear us? Does anybody out there that listens to Tech Bacon work at Google? If you do, Go earn yourself a promotion on Monday.
I just want a little credit. Just a little. Just a shout out. Really.
You know what?
Actually,
you know what? You don't need any. You know what your credit will be? It'll happen.
Yeah. As a music fan, that'll be my credit.
And you're a music fan. But the fact, if it happens, somebody can come up with it independently. Yeah. You said it.
That's right.
So far as we know, anyway. I don't know.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So are we going to talk about this fancy little thing that you got?
Yeah, I'm going to do a little quick recap of this, and we're going to move on to some food.
Okay.
So this, obviously, the Kindle Fire, I talked about it the other week. I finally had some time to use it. I traveled to Chicago with it. It just
jingled.
And it made some noise, even though I had turned the volume off. Kindle Fire, you... Brr. Oh, the volume is off. That's even stranger. So Kindle Fire, I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I took it on the plane with me, loaded it up with some movies, had some music, had a couple of books. As a travel tablet, it's brilliant.
Have you watched movies on an iPad?
I have.
And so talk to me about the movie watching experience, because I think that's something that people would really want to hear about.
Movie watching obviously is nicer on the iPad because it's a bigger screen.
It's a bigger screen.
It's a lot bigger screen. However, movie watching on this is fine and great, and it takes up so little space in your bag and on the plane and sitting on the tray table and all of that stuff. This thing is, I mean, it's lighter than the iPad 2. It's smaller. I can hold it in one hand.
I don't know. You know? I don't know if you were saying that before. I don't know if I buy your value based upon
and it's $200.
See, now you're talking. A little do-re-mi, maybe a little American money too. I think that's a substantive issue, is the money. But I don't know if the size really matters.
Because
it's big enough that it's still heavy.
It's not, though. I mean, I've sat on the couch
I was holding it.
It feels heavy for the size.
It didn't feel great.
I'll tell you, for the size, it feels heavier than it should because you're expecting the weight of a Kindle. Okay? But if you hold this in one hand and the iPad in the other hand, significantly lighter.
I really feel bad for the audience now because this is where Dooner would have made some really nasty joke, and I can't get myself to do it because
you're not channeling your inner Dooner.
No, I only have one. I'm channeling my inner Dooner. I'm just not channeling my inner dirtbag. If I had another drink in me, maybe, but one ain't gonna do it. I can't be that dirty yet.
Well, I just have to say it was a pleasure to travel with.
I have to say the screen is gorgeous.
It's the same screen as the iPad 2.
Okay, it looks great. It really looks great.
Yeah. And
I wonder, you know, on a functionality level, you told me that it's Wi-Fi only.
Right.
And so that makes me wonder whether or not, you know, because I don't think anybody out there is really going to be dramatically impacted by the size. It's big enough that it's just bigger. As soon as it's bigger than a phone.
Smaller than an iPad, though.
Yeah, but so what?
But when you're, if you're sitting on the couch and reading, which I have been doing,
yeah,
it's night and day. It's night and day than holding an iPad.
So talk to me about.
I mean, I could sit
What's the news about the reading of the screen? Because I feel like one of the big Kindle sell points along has been the what do you call that special
screen? E-ink?
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's different. Obviously,
because this is the whole thing about the eye damage.
Right. I mean, that's if you're okay with it, you're okay with it. If you're not. You know, it's one of those things. But it's nice that you get the music and you get the videos. And, you know, if you have an Amazon Prime subscription, you have a huge library of stuff. I mean,
right.
Amazon Prime's a great deal because Amazon Prime, $79 a year, you get free shipping and free shipping on anything you buy on Amazon. Plus, you get this whole video library.
Yeah. See, I didn't know about the video library. I knew about the free shipping.
Fantastic.
Because I bought some gifts for people earlier in the year, and so I decided to subscribe to Amazon Prime.
Oh, so you and I was plan-
and I was pl- but I was planning on canceling. I was going to do it just for the free shipping on a couple of gifts.
Right.
But now I.
You know,
did you talk about the Dish Network Blockbuster whole shenanigan?
Yeah,
have you talked about that?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Because I have it. Just
Do you use it?
I can't because my box isn't connected to the internet.
Oh.
And so I could use it online. I haven't really played with it online. I've meant to, but I haven't done it. But I can't. I would like to be able to use it on my TV. I mean,
right.
I feel like that's the whole next level of when everybody has, you know, movie rental services or movie purchase services connected to their televisions. I think that's a whole new era of pop culture existence.
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, this thing, I got to say, I mean, look at this. You know, look how I'm holding this thing. I mean, this in one hand, I'm holding it. And I got to say, when I'm sitting on the couch and I can just grab it and be sitting like this, well, and actually sit like...
You're begging me to make the joke. You're begging me to make the joke.
See,
don't
I hold this in one hand and I hold the remote control in the other hand. You see, I'm holding the Kindle and my TiVo remote in the other hand.
Everybody listening to this just went,
okay, if you could see what I'm doing right now, gross. You would see I'm actually holding a TiVo remote control in the other
hand. Yes, everybody, he's holding a remote. For the love of God, he's holding a remote. That's all he's holding.
But
Jesus.
I mean, you can't do that with the iPad, too. It's nice. The $200 price point is the key. And
yeah,
that's why this
I think
thing
that's
is selling
the, I think that's
like
the,
wildfire.
I think that. Oh, did you really?
I did.
But I think that's the big deal. I think the price point is the big deal. I think Apple devices are very pretty. I think they're also they're always high priced. You know, I mean, anything. Look, it. You know, whenever any new device has come out over the last 30 or 40 years. It starts out really expensive, and then after a few years, it goes down to a low price. I mean, you can get a Blu-ray player right now for probably $49 somewhere.
Right.
Where when it initially came out, it was, you know, $399. Yeah. Right. And so that's what happens. But some of these things, it's just like they're really expensive toys.
Well, this at the end of the day, Amazon does not care at all to make money on the Kindle Fire.
They want to make money on what you buy.
Content.
Yeah.
Content. And I said this the other week. You know what they did? There's an app on here, an Amazon app, right? They just put, and I made this comparison last week, and I think it's true. They just put the Sears catalog in your hand.
You know, what's interesting is that there's, I don't know what, it might have been Fortune. It might have been Wired. I think it was Wired. I saw at the gym the latest article or cover of Wired has Jeff Bezos, am I saying his name right?
From Amazon.
Jeff he started with books, and now he owns the internet. And it's there's a tagline that says it made me want to read that article because it's interesting that's where Amazon started was with books, and now you just said now they're the Sears catalog because I don't know anybody that uses the Sears catalog anymore, but I know everybody orders stuff off of Amazon,
and you can do it from sitting at your couch now. And I have already.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
I mean, it's brilliant on their part. Brilliant. Like I said, traveling with it was a breeze. It was great. It was fun. I loved having it.
Do you want to do a Galaxy Nexus rundown about how it's still not available?
Well, we'll quickly, because we're running long. But yeah, the Galaxy. Well, it's available. The GSM version is available. People have it. You can get it.
Right.
Verizon's version
still not available. There are all these pump fake dates and released screenshots and yada yada. It's now allegedly still. I look every day. Allegedly, it's both the Droid 4 and the Nexus are going to come out on December 8th.
That's what they're saying. That's Thursday. I wonder, and latest reported this weekend is the Verizon version of the phone is in the Verizon Experience stores in New York, and there's pictures and people can play with it, so that gives me hope.
The other thing is for those of you out there, be aware that it might actually be called the Nexus Prime Prime. They're not doing that.
It's the Galaxy Nexus.
It's officially the Galaxy Nexus. Okay, because that lasted a while. That was a possible thing out there for those of you trying to hunt this thing down, like a tech novice like myself trying to track a techie geek phone. I really feel out of my element, but the reason you had asked why I want that phone. I actually think I want it because it's not Apple. As much as I think that iPods, I love iPods, but I don't. Anytime I've tried to tinker with somebody's iPhone, I just kind of don't love the Apple App Store. It's just a little. I don't know. I want something different. I think it's really comes down to I want something different because I'm not an Apple lover. I'm not a Mac lover. I think they're fine. They're functional. But I think I just want something different.
It's funny, I'm always, I'm a PC guy, I'm an Android guy, but if I were to get a phone without a keyboard, I would get the iPhone personally.
And I think it's sort of, I was telling other friends that I think I want it specifically because I don't want to have, everybody has it.
Right. You want something different.
I want something different. I'm a contrarian.
And you've been on the top of the line. You are succumbing to the new and shiny. Welcome to my world.
I'm selling out.
Listen, even Brian wanted to get his hands on the Galaxy Nexus. It's just about having the newest and coolest thing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, we'll see if it lives up to the hype. I'll come back and do a guest review of the Galaxy Nexus at some point.
Boom.
So now we're gonna have a food chat.
Okay. We're going to get to the bacon part of the tech bacon. See, on this show, Sam, we discuss technology.
And the reason it's called bacon is that there's a discussion of food? I had no idea.
And then we talk about food, you see.
Scott Gould likes food.
Just a little bit. This week, I went to a new burger joint.
Where'd you go?
Out here in Los Angeles. I went to this place called Short Order.
I haven't heard of this. You didn't even tell me about this. How dare you, sir?
You should follow my Facebook posts. Follow me on Foodspotting, and you will see photos.
I saw that burger. I saw that burger. Is that where that burger was from?
Yeah.
That huge, was that Friday?
It was Friday. For my birthday, my coworkers took me out for a birthday lunch.
And where is Short Order?
So it's at the Grove, right at the corner. They just built this at the Grove in Los Angeles, which is at the Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market part of the Grove.
Okay.
So for those of you who are not in Los Angeles, the Farmer's Market is an old Farmer's Market, covered stationary Farmer's Market.
And has been in Los Angeles probably, my guess would be for over 100 years.
I don't know. But
it's possible because I know my parents took me there when I was a little kid. And so we're talking.
Yeah, it has been there a
late 1970s and it wasn't new at all then.
No, I know.
So.
I think the Dupars
is a breakfast restaurant, has been there,
a long time.
75, 85, 95.
And that is the Short Order is right next to Dupars.
Ooh.
So it's right on the corner. It's Nancy, oh my God, I just blanked on her. Silverton. Nancy Silverton, who is co-owner of Mosa with Mario Batali, La Brea Bakery. She's awesome.
So she's really untalented?
Yeah. So this is her burger joint. The burgers, there were some interesting things that transpired at this outing. So...
that sounds... Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. So they have... they have burgers at this joint.
Oh, you don't say.
they also have milkshakes, custard milkshakes.
Yeah.
They're really good.
The milkshakes were kind of amazing. I'll do a little milkshake review, as a matter of fact. So I had vanilla and I had a coffee milkshake. And because they were the frozen custard, they had a little creamier texture to them. So different than, not as, if you have a handmade regular ice cream milkshake, it has a, you know, a grainier texture than the custard ice cream. Pull it together, Sam. Pull it together.
You said creamy texture. I actually prefer the grainy ice cream texture of a milkshake. I think it's part of what I... It's funny that you said that. It's part of what I really like about a milkshake.
Yeah. No, and I wouldn't say one is better than the other. It's just different. It was different and good. So now the burgers, they had a handful of different burgers. You know, to be honest, I can't remember exactly what was on the burger that I had. It was some sort of cheese and bacon and a great blend of different meats that were in this burger. They had one problem, though. By the way, I'll post a link to what the exact burgers were to the website and all that stuff. So they only had two ways that you can order the burgers. You can order it medium rare or medium well, which in concept, I don't mind that as being the only option.
As long as it includes medium rare, I don't care.
Okay. Well, here's the problem. So all the beef is grass-fed beef, blah, blah, blah. I guess grass-fed beef cooks differently. And so what is considered medium rare looks different than what you would expect medium rare to look like. And medium well looks different than when you expect.
Does medium rare taste like medium rare?
I'm not sure, but I couldn't get the past that it looked like tartar.
Really?
Medium rare looked raw. I mean, really raw.
But was it hot?
It was hot. It looked like they seared the burger.
How did it taste?
Well, I didn't have it, but...
Okay.
But my boss had it, and he sent it back.
Really?
Because he said it was... raw.
The fire likes to jingle.
I know it does. He said it looked raw, and he said it just the texture was too raw. The medium well, on the other hand, was like a perfectly cooked medium rare burger.
Now tell me. So I feel like the newest gourmet burger that I feel like we've had in town. I don't know if it counts as gourmet, but it was that Go Burger by the Arclight?
Yeah, that place is good.
How does it compare to Go Burger's burger? Because I thought the Go Burger burger was pretty good. And same with the City Tavern burger, which I don't know if it's been discussed on this show, but the City Tavern, the newest Culver City whiskey watering hole, has a fabulous hamburger.
Burger.
Two very good burgers.
I would say...
Of those three, which one was better?
I think this one was the best of those three.
Really?
Yes.
When cooked properly.
I got the medium well.
I don't know if I could get myself to say medium well.
Well, that's part of the problem. What was nice was one of the, I don't know if it was a manager or one of the cooks, actually came out afterwards and asked us our opinion on the ordering and how we think they could make it better. That's classy. I got to say.
Well, it's smart.
Well, it's very smart.
Forget about classy. That's smart. Asking people, how can we make our business better? When you really, instead of, you know, getting people to write something down, asking people, hey, what did you like? What didn't you like? I love that.
Yeah.
I really love that because it lets you, it's a dialogue. I think a dialogue is so much better than a comment card because so often when somebody says something on a comment card, there have to be follow-up questions. You know, it's a live in-person survey. What did you like about what you ordered today? What didn't you like?
Right. And this place is new. I mean, this place is only
brand new. Okay. You know, so I got to go check out that burger. You know, I like a good burger.
It's a good burger. It's a good burger.
All right.
Like I said, the medium well was cooked perfectly.
Has anybody come out with a burger joint named Good Burger? Which I believe is
which I believe is
the band name in Can't Hardly Wait.
That's funny,
isn't it? Am I right about that?
I don't know.
I wish I had Schrader here.
By the way, so what I had, I just looked it up online. I had the Nancy's Backyard Burger, and that had Nancy Silverton's beef blend. She has her own like blend that she makes the ground beef. Like they grind.
That's
their own unusual. Beef,
that's unusual.
I mean?
That it's a patented beef blend.
Yeah, pretty amazing, and it tasted great. And then it also had on it, which I just lost the thing, artisan bacon, avocado, tomato, onion, iceberg, lettuce, and spicy mayo.
Since we're doing food and we're talking about burger joints, the City Tavern restaurant that I just mentioned.
Yes.
One of the best things I've eaten in the city recently is one of their starter apps. It is two big dollops of burrata cheese with some butternut squash and pumpkin seeds. Let me tell you, Angelino Tech Baconeers, go get it. It's worth going. It's a cool, the decor in there is cool. It's a cool spot, but all of the food there has been good, but that burrata selection that they've got is really fantastic. It's a very nice pairing of flavors and tastes and one of the best things I've eaten recently.
I agree 100%. On that note, I think we're going to bring the show to a close. Sam Wolman, you did a wonderful job.
Hey, I don't know about wonderful, but I did a job. I did a job.
Thank you for filling in and thank you for joining us. I think you brought a unique perspective to the Tech Bacon canon.
Tech Bacon 39 will go down in history as Tech Bacon 39.
As something.
So thanks for listening, folks.
Thank you very much. You can check us out on Facebook, on the web, on iTunes. You can download the podcast. Give us some ratings. We love hearing that. You can follow me on Twitter at ScottyG7. Sam is on Twitter but inactive. So if you want to give your...
Well, I'll plug it at 647, SIXFORSEVEN.
And if you want to, you know, some great music commentary and information,
maybe I'll start that back up.
You're going to start tweeting again?
Yeah, why not?
I like it. Okay.
If I get the fancy new phone, I will.
Thank you very much. I am Scott Gold.
I am Sam Woolman.
And have a wonderful day.